Mr. Chairman, Norma Paula, Secretary of State, and with me is Ray Phelps, Director of Elections. Our involvement with the vote-by-mail program started during the last legislative session when we met and visited about the possibility of enacting such a statute with members of the House Elections Committee. We felt at that time that we didn't have enough information about anyone who'd really experienced it to recommend it to our state, but we told the House Elections Committee last session that we would monitor what California was doing, because California was the only state in the nation that had a statute that authorized vote by mail, and up until very recently, they had done little or nothing with it. After this session started, Mr. Phelps was attending a Federal Elections Commission meeting in Washington, D.C., and learned that California was about to make a major step in this direction. And when we learned that San Diego and Los Angeles were going to conduct two large elections entirely by mail on measures, not candidates, I went to the Speaker of the House and told him that this was happening and that I was going to have Mr. Phelps go down there a few days before and a few days after to monitor the entire system, and that I felt it would be very helpful if people in the political world saw the same thing that the Director of Elections saw, so that you'd be seeing it from the candidate standpoint and also from the mechanical standpoint. The Oregonian had evinced some interest in this, and Mr. Hildebrand of the Oregonian said that he wanted to go. One of our clerks went, and Mr. Radakovich did. I went to the President of the Senate and told him what we were doing and asked if there was anyone in the Senate interested in going, because the Speaker had said he was going to send the Chairman and Vice Chairman of the House Elections. As I understand it, you didn't have enough money then in your travel budget to send anyone. So the result was that Mr. Whalen, Mr. Lombard, Mr. Phelps, Mr. Hildebrand, Bill Radakovich, and the Linn County Clerk, Bill Riley, who's with us this afternoon, did go down and watch the system from the beginning to the end and came back very enthusiastic about the process. Before Mr. Phelps went down there, there were two House members that were very interested in it, one Mr. Mason and Mr. Peter Courtney. And we had been giving them as much information as we had before, but said that we weren't willing to sponsor it as the chief elections officer until we monitored it. And we feel very confident with the information that Mr. Phelps gleaned down there that we can, if this bill is passed, have a successful attempt at it in Oregon. And there are two or three reasons, really, for it. Number one is, the California experience demonstrates that you can cut the cost of elections drastically while, on the other hand, increasing the participation rate to a great degree. We have also been monitoring the use of absentee ballots in our own state, and I think it was either in the 73 or 75 session when I served on a similar committee as this one, we tried to expand the absentee ballot provisions in the state of Oregon, essentially for the elderly and the handicapped. But it's been our observation in the last 4 years that more and more people, other than just the handicapped and elderly, are using the absentee ballot process in our state now that we've relaxed the rules. And to me, that reflects the mobility of our society, particularly the workforce in the Willamette Valley. So for those reasons, we are very enthused about the possibility. Now, the bill is drafted so that it gives our office very broad discretion, and we feel that that's absolutely essential because we want the first attempt to be closely monitored and we want it to be successful. And quite frankly, if it were mandated that county clerks had to do it, there are some clerks that would not be able to make a success of it, and we think that the election process would be thrown into chaos. There is a sunset provision in it. It also would require the enactment of this legislation, would require a cutoff of registration. And we feel that that's got to be in there, or we just cannot support it. The House has written the bill so that it could not be applied to a primary or general election, and that's largely a concession on the registration, last day registration. It also requires us to make a report to the next session of the legislature with a thorough discussion of what our successes were, and also to pay particular attention to the last day registration. And I will tell you this, as I did the House, because this last day registration, of course, is a sensitive area in the legislature, and the AFL-CIO has vigorously supported it. I served on the committee when I was a member of the legislature that brought that bill out of the House, and I've consistently supported last day registration. So it cannot be interpreted as a move on the Secretary of State's part to come in the back door on registration cutoff. But we feel that it's absolutely essential that we be given the authority to have a 30-day cutoff for one of these special elections, or we couldn't guarantee the success of it.
Now, your plan is to try, not to open up every election, but this is to try as an experiment on two or three elections.
That we can closely monitor with...
And you have a sunset on this, and so you just try it this...
Right.
And the discretion for doing that is left to you.
Right.
Pick out these elections.
Right. We would do it by administrative rule under Chapter 183 so that there be full public hearings subject to review at any part of the process.
And how big an election do you plan to use? So, I mean, so it would, to take a fire district election, you know, might not be much. I'm wondering how big a one you plan to use.
We have several of our clerks have been very enthusiastic about this and have offered to be the trial.
The guinea pig.
And the guinea pig. And currently, there it looks like there's a good possibility we would use it in Linn County in September. The Linn County clerk was with Mr. Phelps, saw the process, is enthusiastic about it. We have absolute confidence in his ability. So that's, we can't tell you definitely that that's when we're going to do it, but it would be a countywide vote on a jail measure.
But, so you would have approximately 40,000 people to vote on it.
Right.
And so it'd be big enough to...
There's another point that I'd like to bring out. Of course, the success or failure of anything like this not only depends on how efficient we are, but to a large degree in the post office. And I know that for several years, almost without exception, we all take our shots at the post office, but I would like to tell you what our experience has been. Shortly before I became Secretary of State, there was a major problem in the metropolitan area with political mail that involved Pat Whiting and Les Aucoin, and it was a very terrible, terrible circumstance. There had been examples of that with the voters pamphlet in prior years that I'd witnessed just as a legislator. So I called the head of the post office region in Seattle and explained to him that we had some serious reservations about what they were doing in Oregon with political mail of any kind, and that we would like to meet with him. And we did, and we've had wonderful cooperation. The gentleman who heads the Portland office has been more than cooperative, to the point where they devised a special system for the delivery of our voters' pamphlets, and we've had just really excellent cooperation and results from the post office on our voters' pamphlet since that meeting. And we periodically meet with them and shore up their directives. They've been very cooperative and I think very successful. When this hit the paper after the San Diego experience, the head of the postal department in Oregon called me and said that he wanted me to know that he had already gotten the information from the postal authorities in San Diego and they stood ready to work with us in any way. And Mr. Spencer, our local postmaster, has given me the same assurance, as has the postmaster in Linn County, voluntarily. So their system is already looking forward to this. I had suggested to the postal people that in Oregon we might do something that wasn't done in California, and that is find an absolutely outrageously vivid color to be used for the ballots so that the postal people couldn't miss them, and that would help chart it through the system. So we would ask that you adopt this and give us the authority to try it and report back to you.
Okay, one little question on mechanics. The ballot has to be in the day of the election. Or what do you do about late ballots? Or under present law, that has to be within, delivered to the county clerk, or I mean whoever it is, the charge of the election on that day, and any day later, anything like that are thrown out, even if there's a postmark on it. And now that would be correct with saying the same thing with this?
Mr. Chairman, I have a 4 o'clock meeting in another part of the Capitol, and Mr. Phelps is more schooled with the mechanics of it than I, and I'm sure he could answer any of your questions. And I'd be happy to return if you have further questions, but I do have another meeting.
Well, before she leaves, I want to ask you just one quick question. Do you contemplate using it soon for school budget elections?
Well, I can see where that would be one, yes. But right now, we're looking for a countywide measure and in September, and there's just a few of them that would be coming up that would meet our criteria, but one of them is the jail measure in Linn County.
But the answer is yes, you do contemplate for school budget.
But right now, all we're thinking about is working the system so the first one works mechanically very well, and then we would assess the cost figures and the participation rate and the public reception of it. I think it needs a lot of PR. And of course, it's obvious unless the first one is a success, the whole program will be dead and buried for many years. So that's why we're asking for broad authority. We also don't intend to apply it in any way to candidates, because that's a whole new ballgame. If you find out that a lot of the voters return the ballots within 3 days, then you and I are going to have to change our campaign tactics, because the money that's spent in the last 10 days would be down a rat hole. So there are a whole host of political questions that must be assessed, I think, by the next session of the legislature. And we intend, if the legislature decides that this is a good idea, to use it very cautiously between now and the next election and not go overboard. I mean, next session.
How do you safeguard things like fraud and secrecy and so forth? We have a secret ballot system.
Well, essentially in the same way that you do with absentee ballots now. But I think Mr. Phelps is really the person you should ask the mechanical questions to. I've said this several times, but I think it's important for any of you that have not dealt with Mr. Phelps before, that he is recognized nationally as one of the three election experts in the United States. And the Federal Elections Commission asked me 3 years ago if during our down period they could use him to take him around the country to educate other people in regional seminars. So if there's anyone that mechanically can make it work, Mr. Phelps can.
Fine, we'll let you go then. We'll have Representative Lombard come up and take your place.
Thank you.
As possible. Mr. Chairman, I'd like Mr. Phelps to address the question of safeguards against fraud and secrecy.
Yes, sir, Senator Tro. First of all, with respect to safeguards fraud, it's my opinion that the safeguard of signature verification, which is required by this, by an absolute verification of each signer's name on an envelope, which would be very much like the absentee ballot, comparing that signature to a voter registration card is a better security than what we have now at the polling place, where an elector enters the polling place and signs the poll book. The signature, for all practical purposes, is not contested, nor is it ever verified. So that I think that verification gives us, if you will, as good or better, depending on your disposition as to that verification process.
There has been some feeling that the way we do it now, with what kind of system, the absentee ballot system, maybe is could be subject to manipulation. And I'm wondering if you had this kind of system, if it wouldn't be possible for somebody to run around and grab people with ballots and get them all together and tell them how to vote, if that happens.
I believe that
election.
Of course, it's possible. I think it would be very ridiculous for me to say it isn't. But I think if you're talking about a scheme of any magnitude at all, certainly is not going to be a very well-kept secret. That's one thing. Secondly, if you're talking about a situation where somebody may actually sign all those envelopes, the signature comparison process that we're contemplating using will probably pick up 99.9%. I won't say it's perfect. And lastly,
You would be able to check out the signatures for us?
Yes, sir.
How would you do that?
Actual comparison with the voter registration card that you and I have filled out at the time we registered or re-registered if we had moved or...
You can do that mechanically?
No, sir. It's done manually. Individuals comparing those signatures.
So you'd only compare them when you had some charge of fraud?
No, sir. We would make 100% comparison on every signature, on every ballot prior to processing that ballot at the elections office on election day.
That would take a lot of time.
Well, it does.
You do that right now, don't you?
On absentee ballots, we do.
But the volume is going to be considerably more.
Well, surprisingly enough, it's not as big a concern as I had imagined. It was one of the great revelations of San Diego, and that was the fact that approximately 60%+ of the total ballots that you mail out, and in their case, they were dealing with 430,000 ballots, which is a registration substantially larger than Multnomah County, to give us some kind of a perspective. They got over 60% of their ballots back within 72 hours of the time they mailed it, which gave them approximately 12 to 13 days of comparison time. And an individual person comparing signatures, as you would now with initiative or referendum petitions or any kind of petition, can do on an average of about 200 comparisons a day per person. In San Diego, their comparison process, because they were much better organized for that specific function, increased that productivity probably 50%. They were doing somewhere between 300 and 400 verifications per person per day. So it just gets to be the marrying, if you will, of the certain number of people to do a certain number of envelopes and try to get done at the other end. And, you know, it's a staffing. Very labor-intensified process, but it's a staffing problem, and it's one that's very manageable. If I may, as an aside, what makes this a much more desirable process is that you bring your staffing to whatever level you need it, whereas traditionally in polling places, if you decide to open up 100 polling places and nobody shows up, you still got 3 election board persons and you're stuck. But here, if you decided to hire 50 people and the return of envelopes would dictate that 25 get the job done in the given number of days, you can reduce your staffing immediately, thus reducing your costs.
The secrecy aspect, that just wouldn't be all that important, the fact that you filled them out by yourself someplace.
Senator, the only way I can answer your question is that it's no better and no worse than the absentee ballot process. And the absentee ballot envelope voting that Mrs. Paulus referred to a few minutes ago is increasing nationally from about 3.5% to 7-8%. And a goodly number of elections are determined well within that percentage. So, you know, it's a thing that we're going to have to recognize as potentially there, but it's my opinion it's going to be no worse than what it presently could be in absentee, or maybe in absentee voting right now. And it's not been a factor of concern.
Senator Wingard.
I have a series of questions, but what was being meant by success or fail by the Secretary of State? She said, we want to make sure this is a success. Now, what did she mean?
A success with respect to procedure, not in that there is the concern that given an election where you may be using 50,000 ballots, let's take Linn County for example, where there are approximately 50,000 electors. If the clerk is not well organized or the office is not well organized and the procedures are not carefully laid out, if you mail 50,000 ballots and 25,000-30,000 of them show up within a couple of 3 days and you have no idea what you got yourself into, you can have yourself a heck of a mess because you might be a week after election day trying to get all those signatures compared so that you could then begin to tabulate ballots. In other words, when we're talking success or failure, we're talking success or failure procedurally, that the files are organized to handle the work efficiently, that there is adequate staffing, that there are proper procedures for safeguard for secrecy of the ballot during the process, that the tabulation process is well thought out, and so on and so on, those kinds of things.
You talked a little bit about the absentee ballot, and now the present law on absentee ballots, you can receive those up to how many days for an election?
Actually, you receive them up to 8 p.m. on election day.
No, but I mean, what's the outside? What's the...
How soon?
What's the soonest you can get them before an election?
I'm sorry. You can apply 60 days for an election, and the clerk is required to mail not later than 30 days before an election.
So you're really making that quite similar in the time frame there.
We're reducing it to 20 days, however, but it's similar.
What would keep a group of people, for instance, some organized group, from saying to its employees, bring all your ballots in and we'll mark them, we'll have a ballot signing night, and we'll show you how to mark them on a particular evening or something like that? What would keep, it would be nothing against that.
Well, there are statutes right now that in the Corrupt Practices, Chapter 260, that would make that particular activity an offense. As I speculated with Senator Tro, I doubt seriously that that would not be discussed and or identified to us. And lastly, and this was a point...
Well, is there anything against the law about that?
Oh, yes.
Against having a ballot marking party?
Yes. You cannot observe a person marking ballots in Chapter 260.
Well, you wouldn't have to observe it. They would just, you'd sit there and have a blackboard and say, now this is the way you mark your ballot, folks.
Well, speculating with you, number one, I don't think it would happen to the degree that it would become a large concern, because I just don't think our guardians would go for that. That's number one. Number two, if that were the case, and as the last point I was trying to make was simply that, given that, I believe someone would challenge those ballots. They're in a state where they can be challenged and successfully then either rejected through a legal proceeding, and certain persons may be subject to those corrupt practices statutes.
Is there anything in the corrupt statutes, corrupt practices statutes, that relates to subliminal advertising on television?
Which one?
No.
All right, and you have your ballots, and you've been watching this television subliminally for the last 30 days, telling you how to mark your ballot. It arrives in the mail, and you put it back in the envelope because you're programmed.
Well, I believe that would probably be a factor of concern even today, doing it at home as opposed to doing it at home.
But can't you see the campaigns now? They'll show you the ballot on the television, and it'll be, I don't know. I'm just not very modern, I guess, not very progressive. Yeah.
You're going to have to be the firstest with the mostest with this, because it said that 72 hours after 60% of the ballots were back in, he sends them out by 20 days before the election. So the guy who just worked like mad with a whole bunch of TV on those 2 or 3 days, 20 days before election, will have it all won. The other guy can just fight like blazes, and the election was decided back 20 days ago.
I have one more question on
cost. Go ahead.
On this trial run, is it, you're just thinking on the trial run you'll check each ballot. Were you thinking that in each election you'll be checking each ballot?
Each and every election. And
for validity?
I cannot believe that we could ever propose a different one.
And you don't think that would be any more expensive than running elections?
No, sir. With 100% verification processing in San Diego, for 430,000 ballots, that election traditionally would have cost $530,000. And it's, I don't have the exact figures yet from San Diego. I should be receiving those within the next day or two. But it's my impression when I left that the director down there believed that the election would cost no more than $200,000. So the reduction was more than 50%. See, and that was the thing I was talking about with Senator Tro, and that is the fact that you can match your staffing And an election is always labor intensified, whether you do it in the office or in a polling place. 70% of your election cost is labor. Any cost of an election is going to run you about that percentage. So that having a fixed poll site with a fixed minimum number of election board people, whether you have a 2% turnout or an 80% turnout, those costs are going to be the same. Where here, if you have a 2%, 80%, your costs can be brought down to match the demand on a day-by-day basis, which is a lot less expensive, quite frankly.
Well, when the ballot goes out, now this is my last question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
When the ballot goes out, and we keep changing the law on who writes the ballot questions, that ballot question writing is going to be so critical, because here we are in a situation where we're trying to get people out to vote who absolutely don't want to budge. But now they have the ballot and they think, oh my gosh, I've got to do it now. So they get it out and they read it. So the critical nature of how that is written really worries me.
Well, there are, of course, an existing safeguard and one that this Legislative Assembly enacted just this session. One is, of course, the contest on the ballot title. That is, it's not impartial and or the other standards. And secondly, there is the now requirement for local measures to be subjected to a readability test. And so that what has been happening, maybe at the state level, is now a process that's going to be required for any special district, county, city governing body to provide a ballot title that has been subjected to a test of readability that should be the equivalent very near the eighth grade level. And then the judicial process of whether or not the ballot title is accurate and impartial.
That brings one. Could I have one more, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since we have a politician before us, in your view, do you think this will tend to give a more conservative readout from the electorate or a more progressive readout from the electorate going to a, when you're covering more people on a mail-out ballot?
I don't think, Senator, I could speculate as to that really candidly. I can tell you what happened in the San Diego experience. What the ballot measure was there was whether or not bonds should be floated for the construction of a civic convention center downtown. Their turnout, and one of the things I was going to note was that their increase in voter participation was from a usual anticipated approximately 25%. Type of election, and they got over 60% turnout, and the bond measure went down. It was interesting, the city officials counted the election a success, notwithstanding the fact that they lost the bond measure. I have heard, let's put it this way. I think in all of our experiences, we've seen instances where perhaps special districts have used some of the midsummer election dates, perhaps, or at least under the allegation that they're doing so in hopes that the turnout will be low and selective and supportive. And so you may, in fact, initially perhaps encourage more negative votes, but again, it just depends on the measure. And whether that old saw will really carry through or not, I don't know. I know when Representative Courtney spoke in support of the bill before the House Elections Committee, he made the statement that down the road sometime, if this is used in school election ballot measures, no longer will they be able to selectively pick their dates, their election dates, for the fewest number to turn out. Well, your speculation is as good as mine. What effect this will have. That's the response to that question.
And my concern is with the bill itself. Now, the way it is now, the control on the bill with respect to the kinds of elections that can be used in the experiment, even though the statements made both by the Secretary of State and so far, the answers I've heard from you, Mr. Phelps, are that they'll be experimental and rather small. But there's no actual governance in the bill as far as that part of it goes. I share some of the concerns expressed by my two colleagues who have been asking the questions. And I'm, Mr. Chairman, I'm almost ready to make a motion to ask that the bill be amended to prohibit the use in a statewide ballot measure election for at least the first 2 years till we do find out. We may discover some things, I think, that would cause people on one side or the other, whether you're moderate to liberal or moderate to conservative, if you're a pro-nuke or an anti-nuke, if you're one way or the other on some of these very large questions of the day, LCDC, that we really ought to have some solid testing before we get into the whole ball game of statewide ballot measures. Because I can see the kind of political campaigns that can be brought by those people who can spend enough money on television to influence, if you got a 750,000 registered voters in the state who've all got a ballot at home that deals with a statewide ballot measure, and I don't think that that's an area that we want to be experimenting with. So when the chair is ready for that kind of a motion, I'd like to see the bill modified to the extent that at least that kind of governance is there with, for the Secretary of State, not just guidance, but for it to be governed at least for the first 2 years.
It's already there.
Mr. Chairman.
I asked and he said no.
Representative Lombard.
Yeah, I think effectively it's already there.
Testify yet? Would you like to give?
Yes, I would, but let me start out also by trying to answer Senator Burbidge's question. I think that's already there, Senator, in this effect. It's an indirect way, but the bill prohibits the use of this election at a statewide general or primary election.
Well, but and about the only Secretary of State used that because she was speaking about